Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
So I have again, in case you needed, the mitzvahs we're going to go through. And here we go. I also have a shtick. I decided to Xerox a piece we're going to go through from an Acharon, who quotes an important medrash that I think is very relevant to something the Rambam does. So let's do this. What we will do is let's take a look at two or three mitzvahs together here. Try to get all the diyukim out of the way. Not out of the way, but on the record.
What's the diyukim?
All the things to notice, all the fine points to notice. And then we'll go from there. All right, so again, we're looking... It's hard to separate some of these because they're... The science of counting and the science of categorizing sometimes is discerned by comparison and by grouping, and so that's why the last couple of weeks we've really been looking at more than one at a time. So let's look again at Mitzvah 44, Mitzvah Hamem Dalet. And by the way, we will be going through the Sukkim again. It's going to be very relevant, I think. some of which we pointed out. But so Mitzvah 44, he Mincha Sa'omer. Okay, that is the mincha, which means the meal offering of the Omer. V'hi shetivanu, and that is that we're commanded v'hakrev mincha se'orim, to be offer a mincha se'orim, a meal offering of barley, v'yom shisha asar v'nisan, on the 16th day of Nisan. That's the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. V'nakrev imah, and we're supposed to offer as a sacrifice with it, keves ben shnaso la'ola, a keves, a year old, a goat, for as an olah. So the law of Minchas Omer says do the meal offering and an olah.
How does this connect to last week when we were talking about one of the offerings that the Kohen Gadol was giving? I don't remember which one.
Last week we were talking about the Musafim. How does this connect? This, first of all, the Rambam's list to connect, I hope I'm answering your question right. I hope I'm answering your question. The Rambam is listing all the kinds of public karbanos that are obligations that the Jewish people have to offer at different times of the year.
So just the next one in order.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a reasonable question. That's what the pasuk says. You shall bring the omer, the sheaf of barley, the first of your harvest to the Kohen. Mincha zu hi hanikreis minchas bikurim, and this mincha is referred to as minchas bikurim, the Eloha Ramaz, and that is what it was hinting at. To it, it was hinting when the Torah said much earlier in Vayikra, way back in chapter 2. Ba'amri Yisalius Barshmo, when Kadosh Baruch Hu said in the Chumash, "Ve'im takriv minchas bikurim l'Hashem," literally translated, "If you will be makriv a minchas bikurim l'Hashem," which Rashi points out that there "im" doesn't mean if; it means when. Kaasher, when? Why is the Haggadah be men? When? Because we're talking about an obligatory carbon, not a voluntary donation. We're talking about a minchas ha'omer, which has to be done on the 16th of Nisan. So the "ve'im" there means kaasher. When you offer minchas bikurim l'Hashem, aviv kaloi ba'esh keres kamel. So the Torah says how it should be roasted in the fire. This fresh barley that's roasted in the fire. Okay, v'lashon mechilta, and the Rambam Kedarko now supports it from the mechilta from the midrashim. Kol im. Oh, here it is. Kol im ve'im shebatorah v'shus. Almost every im in the Torah is optional, meaning if it happens to be that you do this. Chutz mishlosha shehem chov, except for three cases that are obligatory. Echad mehem amru, one of those three cases is im tikrav minchas bikurim, im takrav minchas bikurim, if you offer, meaning when you offer. Chova, that means the obligation, says the Medrash. Ata omer chova, the Medrash says to itself, you're telling me that it's obligatory, o eno ala rishos. Maybe it really took a true mean, like all the other yims made, that if you end up and it's not an obligatory one. No, Tamar Lomar, Takriv es minchas bikurecha, chova v'lo rishos. So there's another pasuk that makes it a forceful, you shall do it. You see, the minchas bikurim must be done. Therefore, im there means when. It's obligatory below Rishus. Kvar hisparu mishpatei mitzvah zos kulam al hashleimus beperkasim menachos. All the laws of this mitzvah have been explained completely in the 10th parak of Tractate Menachos. Fine.
Can we just summarize what we just said?
Yes, we just said that there's a mitzvah on the 16th of Nisan to offer a special mincha called Minchas Bikurim, which he documents from the Psukim that you must do it. And together with that mincha comes an ola, a karban ola, which is a goat 1 year old. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to offer the Minchas HaOmer on the 16th thing. Okay, that's it.
Okay.
Hamitzvah Mem, hey, let's go to the what?
Why is there two names for it? Mm-hmm.
So it's also
Minchas Bikurim. Yeah, Minchas Bikurim. So we don't want to have a Pesach. Very often you'll say Vizekorim, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, I just want to clarify, and this is not that it's that important to get my language straight, but when I say that's a good question, I'm not evaluating the question and telling you it's an okay question. What I mean is it's a question that I relate to and I don't understand it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying it's a good or bad question. What? Okay. I'm just saying it's not for me to evaluate the question. I'll either answer it or not. So it's a good question, meaning I agree. I don't know. I don't know. Anybody have any ideas why we call Minchas Bikurim and Minchas HaOmer?
He's not on the Rambam, so
like
the Torah
decided this one. Well, Torah says Minchas Bikurim over there in Vayikra, in the beginning of Vayikra. Over here it says, doesn't really say, doesn't call him Minchas HaOmer, you're right. Doesn't really call it, the Gemara calls it, the Mishnah calls it Minchas HaOmer. Why would the Gemara even invent something else? It's called Minchas Bikurim. Well, it's interesting, the Rambam's language is Ve'eleha Ramaz. You know, it's fascinating. Let's go look at the Chumashim for a minute, because these things are really worth seeing. Can you pass me a Chumash, please? Thanks. So we're looking at Vayikra chapter 2, and then we're going to look at Vayikra chapter 23. So Vayikra Beis. Yeah, it's going to be... And this is 289, page 289 over here, at the very beginning, at the bottom. Chapter 2, verse 14. The Imtah, it's just very interesting what goes on here. The Imtah Kriyat Minchas Bikurim Lashem, if, when, your Makriv a Mincha Bikurim to Hashem, so it should be Aviv, which I think means fresh or something like that. Kalui Ba'esh Geres Carmel, so it describes the, it should be broken, ground, fresh, ripe, roasted. Okay, so it's going to be this kind of, you can take this grain and treat it a certain way. That's how you're going to offer it. What do you do with it? Next pasuk on the next page. V'nasata ala Hashem, and put oil in it. V'santa ala lavona, and you should put lavona, some of this kind of frankincense on it. Mincha, it's a mincha, it's a meal offering. What do you do with that? V'hikira kohenes haskarasa, the kohen is makdir. It's I don't know how to say it. It's
remembrance.
Yeah, it's remembrance. It's offering of remembrance. It really means its essential purpose is offered as a ketores, right? And its purpose happens to be azkara, like, right? So the essence of it, which is azkara, is offered by the kohen as a ketores, as a burnt, fragrant offering. From its geras, from its fresh grain, from its oil, and from its, together with its levana, as an isha. Now, interesting, it doesn't say anything here about matir chadash, about grain, about how it affects anything, and it doesn't say what day. That's why the Rambam says over here in the mitzvah, the Eleha Ramaz, to this did the Torah hint. Because the Torah never said, here's a mitzvah to do a Minchas HaOmer. Why, by the way, was in the context of what's going on in Vayikra, the Torah is not interested in telling you all the dinim of Minchas HaOmer. The Torah is interested in giving you a menu, because the Torah is providing the introduction to Karbanos. What the Torah in the beginning of Vayikra is doing is saying, listen, you now have this box called the Mishkan, here's how to use it. and it has this thing on the front called an altar. Here's how to use it. And there's a different ways to use it. There's a carbonolo, there's a chatas, there's an asham, there's a shlamim, whatever it is. And you can, and then there's birds and there's animals and there's whatever it is. And then the Torah lists every kind of mincha possible. So that's why, by the way, let's ask a question. This has nothing to do really with the mitzvah here, with the Rambam, but it's worth getting into this just for a second. Why would the Torah say im if it always means if, and here is one of the three places that it says im and it doesn't mean if? So choose another word. Why do you have to drive me crazy? I mean, this is such a neurotic pasuk, right? Why do you say if you mean when? Just say when, right? Why do you have to say it and then have to have a Rashi tell me it doesn't mean if? It's an obligatory carbon, it means the mincha zomer. Just say what you mean. The answer is because at this point the Torah is not interested in telling you the mitzvah. It's telling you the formula for how to do a mincha. So it's saying, if, meaning, if the case of the mincha that you happen to be doing is a minchas bikurim, then do it this way. If the mincha that you're doing is in the next paragraph, then do it this way. The Torah doesn't mean if as you have a choice. The Torah means in the case of. That's why. So the language is actually technically correct given the context of what the Torah is trying to tell us there. The Torah is saying, in your life, there will be times when you'll be giving this kind of mincha. Of course it's obligatory, but right now I'm saying when it happens to be that, in the case that you're doing this, this is how I want you to do it. When will you be doing that? When you fulfill the mitzvah that I tell you later on in Amar to do a minchas bikurim on the 16th of Nisan. So I'm saying that if is really technically correct because it's saying when in the eventuality that you're doing the obligatory mitzvah. So that's why it's okay to say it that way, because the Torah here is giving you a menu. Anyway, but the point is, at this point, all the Torah wants to do in the beginning of Vayikra is tell you that there's another kind of mincha. Not only is there minchas marcheshes and minchas machvas, and whatever, and the mincha of the minchas mafei tanur. There's different kinds of minchas. One of them is going to be a minchas bikurim. So I'm going to tell you how to do it. That's all. In terms of, I'm not going to tell you to wave it, which I tell you in MR. I'm only going to tell you to be makdir, because right now I'm just talking about how are you going to make the flour and the oil and the thing. You're going to get it smoked up on the mizbeach. Its function, its purpose, its accomplishment. That's going to be for its context when I give you the mitzvah later on. Right now, I'm just trying to tell you the angle of the mincha itself. This is the menu of karbanos. Yes.
So, one, it also makes sense if you look at the two before, at Hay and at Zion and
yeah.
And the ones afterward at Ravid, it always says Ve'im Zav, Ve'im like this is the one exception. All the other ones are Ve'im.
Uh huh.
But then the question though is at Dalet it says V'chita Kri Karban Mincha.
Unless
Ki is one. I mean, it's not then because.
Right.
So then why is it doing it over there?
Mm-hmm. Why does it? Why does it?
Adalat it says v'chi.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
yeah.
Well, right. So I understand that if they were all going to be the im, so it's like okay, so if like, this one happens to be an exception and it's flush and out, then we don't.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we don't change them, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But three before we do say v'chi.
I'm going to say what? It doesn't bother you?
No, I mean, it's not. I don't. I mean, like in Alice and Alice, they have nefesh kitakar, but it doesn't. I don't know if it necessarily means like if someone decides he wants to offer a carbon mincha. I don't know if ki has to mean, you know, you definitely have to do it.
It does. I don't think he's suggesting that.
I'm saying
he's saying since
when?
It truly does mean if or when. So why can't it? Why can't you use the same im that you're using all over here?
Oh, why not just say im?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Why don't you say the chi at that one if you said the other one?
Okay. Maybe would it make this one any better? I'm saying if it said the chi over here.
No, not really.
It would
actually make it worse if it would say the chi over here, because the chi doesn't seem ever to mean obligatory. Can't ever be used in an obligatory sense. The im can mean if, and it can mean when you do the obligatory thing, right?
Okay.
But the chi can only mean. But still, you're asking a question. Why does it use the chi interchangeably? What causes it? I think it's because. Here's how it goes. The chi is an introduction of a whole new category. No, I'm wrong. No. Nefesh Kisakriv.
Nefesh Kisakriv, Karban Mincha?
Yeah, that's over there. And then.
Those are the same, no? Is Dalad a new thing? If Dalad's a new thing, then is Hay not?
I'll tell you, it's very interesting. The Nefesh Kisakri of introducing the concept of a mincha that you have flour, oil, and frankincense, and the Kohanim eat part of it. That's introducing the concept of a mincha without telling you how to do any mincha. I want you to know, Kohanim have a mitzvah to eat the mincha. That's going to be a mitzvah in the Rambam in the mitzvah, pay something. The Rambam has a mitzvah. Kohanim eat part of the mincha.
Like so to have a meal, eat part of it, or just like to have a bite of it?
They have whatever it takes to consume it, probably in the course of a meal, but they must eat it. But any mincha that goes on the Zbeach, the part of it goes on the Zbeach, part of it is left for them. The Kohanim must eat it. It must be consumed. So, by the Kohanim. In the context of a meal, as long as it's eaten. But the point is that, so first the Torah is giving you the general outline of, there's a thing called mincha, it's soles, lavona, shemen, kohen, kmitza, ketores, eating. Now I'm going to give you the different kinds. So the first of the list is going to be v'chi. Then it gets to v'im, which are eventualities in that thing. I don't know. We have to make all kinds of rules here, but like we're getting a little, it's fascinating, and I opened it up, but we're getting sidetracked. All right, but the point is, this point is important for us, for the Rambam, which is the Rambam references this thing, but doesn't make it the source, because it's not the source. It gives you an important piece of information in Vayikra about a mincha angle of the mincha sa'omer, because it's introducing all kinds of karbanos. But this is not where the Torah is giving you the obligation to bring it. The Torah, none of these things are the obligation to bring them. They're just they're a menu. These are the different options of karbanos. So the Rambam says ve'eleha ramaz. That's what it referenced indirectly, meaning it's not the source of the mitzvah. So then we have the mincha sa'omer. Now back to your original question: why two words, two names? So the Torah doesn't use an emor. The Torah doesn't use the word mincha sa'omer. We do that in the Mishnaic Hebrew.
It's Omer a lot.
Oh yeah, it's, you're right. Yeah, Omer, because it is a sheaf. It is a theme of barley. But just as Omer HaTnufa, and then it says it should be a mincha. So we say it's a mincha of the Omer. We call the mincha
Omer. So is this the only mincha that is obligatory then? That's what it seems like.
The mincha is Kain Gadol. Every day Kain Gadol has to bring a mincha. Lechem HaPanim also has a din of a mincha? Yeah. Yeah.
But because it's Pesach, it has a higher elevation?
Lechem HaPanim? No, what do you mean? That it's obligatory?
The 15th of
Nisan. No, not because it's Pesach, because, I can't answer that. I'll tell you what, you'll see. But I can't answer that clearly. I could just say that the elevation of it is, no, it's not a higher elevation, it's just the Torah says, here's the way I want you to observe the new season of grain, or I don't know, I don't even know how to say it. The Torah just says, on the 16th day of Nisan, do this. So that's why it's an obligation, because the Torah says it's an obligation. There are different, a person can voluntarily offer a mincha. He can one day wake up and say, I want to bring a mincha. I want to donate a mincha. When he does that, there's a formula for what he does.
Right, but he specifically quoted that it's the mincha of the 16th of Nisan.
Yes. Right, this is, so the Rambam is telling you that there is a mitzvah in the Torah that has nothing to do with your will, which is that you must bring a certain kind of a mincha with certain details on the 16th of Nisan in order to accomplish a certain thing. That's a mitzvah. And also, besides that, the Rambam is not saying it here, but in other places, we know that there's a thing called a mincha. So I'm just trying to respond technically and precisely to your question. He was pointing out that this mincha is obligatory, and that caused you to say, is this because it's a higher level? No, it's obligatory because the Torah said do it. I'm just saying. What makes it obligatory is that the source says do it. Okay. All right. Now, mitzvah number 45.
There's no issue because of the barley bringing it on Pesach?
No, very good. No, first of all, not. Because, first of all, barley, there's no. All grain is wonderful on Pesach as long as you don't make a hummus. Right.
So it's raw.
You even look at the pasuk. The pasuk describes it that way. It goes from not being in contact with water to being roasted.
Okay.
The 45th mitzvah shesivano lahakir purva musaf gam kain b'yom chamishim miyom hakarbas omer. That the mitzvah is to be makriv a karban musaf, meaning an additional karban, also on the 50th day from the day that you brought the Omer. Meaning on the 16th of Nisan, you're going to count 50 days. On that 50th day, you're going to bring the Karman Musaf also on that 50th day. Shehu Shisha Asa B'Nisan, that day of bringing the Omer was the 16th of Nisan. And this Karman that you're bringing 50 days later, Vizehu Musaf Aseres, and this is the Musaf of Aseres of Shavuos, Hanizkar B'Bamidbar Sinai, which is mentioned in the book of Numbers, or I shouldn't say that, in the desert of Sinai, right? We're at the fourth book of the Torah. V'zahu Amir Yisraelim, that's what the Hashem means when he says, V'v'yam Avikarim, on the day of the first, V'hakrivchem Mincha Chadashal Hashem, when you were offering a brand new Mincha to God, and the Torah goes on and describes a special Musaf offering. There it tells you what to offer in Pinchas in Bamidbar. You should offer an Ola as an appeasing fragrance to Hashem, and that's the description of the Musaf of Atzeres. So there's a number of things to notice here. Some we noted last week. We'll just glance over to just be honest to the text. So first of all, he says Gamkein. What's Gamkein? He doesn't use Gamkein anywhere else. Why all of a sudden here does he use Gamkein? We are commanded to be Makir, but Karban Musaf also B'yam Chamishim. So last week, the best I was able to come. You hear the problem? I mean, just why does he say Gamkein? He's talking about Musafim all around this list. He doesn't say Gamkein. So I think the Gamkein, I don't want to get too lumpish here. I think the Gamkein is because since you're going to be offering a Musaf at the beginning, so now we're saying Gamkein also at the end, right? You have a Musaf that's offered at the beginning of Karbanos Omer, and now at the end, it's 50 days later also. But it doesn't feel really good because number 44 was Minchas Omer, not the Musaf of Pesach. Number 43 was the Musaf of Pesach. 44 is Minchas Omer. 45 is the Musaf of Atzeres. And I'm saying the Gamkein is, not only are you offering a Musaf back there, but I wasn't just coming off of the Musaf. So the Gamkein is a little bit dangling. It doesn't really, I don't know what to do with it, but it's got to be something. I don't know what it is. Or the only alternative is that the Gamkein is in reference to something in its own paragraph, which is that there's a mitzvah on Shavuos to also offer a Karban Musaf besides this special mitzvah of offering something else on Shavuos, which is the Shtei HaLechem.
So the Miyom Karban on Shavuos.
Yeah. Yeah, he's saying on the 50th day from. On the 50th day from.
I know, but I'm saying that
you're
makes
saying
a lot more sense the first
the
one.
Original one. Okay, I hear.
Like the Ramban, that's all one large type.
Yeah, neither way are terribly satisfying.
From the day of the Karbanos Omer, which is the 16th of Nisan.
Yeah.
Could you say, like, from the day of the Karbanos Omer, which falls out on the 6th of Sivan,
No, but it doesn't come out on the 6th of Sivan. It's only, it certainly in the Torah concept, the point is out on the 5th, 6th, or 7th, depending on the months. It's Dafka why he's saying it this way.
All right. That was the Gamkein, but it's also part of the building.
All right, and now the other thing is that this business of mentioning the book of Bamidbar, that is so weird for the Rambam. He never does that.
He said
Bamidbar
Sinai.
He's saying
in the Midbar Sinai.
No, he means the book.
What?
No, he means the book. And I'll prove it to you. Because in the next one he says, this is the one that's mentioned in the Sefer Vayikra. He doesn't mean in the desert. There's no reason for him to tell us the desert. The whole Torah was given to us in the desert. Well, all of a sudden on this mitzvah, he wants to tell us that this is the Musaf. And even, by the way, your way. So this is the Musaf that's mentioned in Bamidbar Sinai. What about the Musaf of Pesach that's mentioned in Bamidbar Sinai? The Musaf of Sukkah? He doesn't say that. Only by the Musaf of Atzeres does he say that's mentioned in Bamidbar Sinai. Where else are you going to find the Musafim? There ain't no Musafim anywhere else in the Torah. There's only Musafim in Bamidbar, and all the other Musafim that he quotes, which come from Bamidbar, and which were said in the desert, he doesn't mention Bamidbar. What's weird?
It's very Balvasis, right? I mean, the thing in Vayikra is also has over there a whole list of karbanos that are brought together with the Shtei Lechem, and it's like another long list of stuff which in theory someone could have mixed up that was the Musaf and thought, no, maybe it's just distinguishing that's the Musaf over there in Bamidbar and the one in Vayikra.
Very good.
The other thing.
Very good. I think it I don't know if Balbatish or not, I think that's actually technically true. Okay. I think at least it's the beginning of something. Why would the Rambam be worried that we'd get mixed up? why can't he just trust us that we're going to read the text the way it is?
I got myself.
Okay. All right. What I'm saying is, so I think that's the beginning of it. But I think we have to know why the Rambam cares so much to emphasize that, because he wants us to get something from it, I think. And I think I have the beginning of the Wahalas. I'm not sure. We'll see if it works out. But certainly the Diak is worth looking at. So this is the Musaf of Atzeres, which is mentioned in the Book of Bamidbar. And that's what it means when he says in Pinchas, Uvayom Abikorim Bahakrivchem Minchal Chadashel Hashem, on the day of Bikurim, when you're offering this new mincha, which, what's the new mincha? He means the Shnei Halachem. That's what the Torah is saying. The Torah is indirectly referencing in Pinchas that I told you back there in Midbar and Parshas Zemar, that there, at the end of the 50 days, you're going to offer this special thing called the Shnei Halachem, the two things. On that day, I want you to know, you're supposed to offer a Musaf Hikrovtem Olah. You're supposed to offer an Olah L'Rech Nichoach. Besides the Olah Tatamit, the normal Olah that you're giving every day of the year, I want you to give a special Olah, when that's called, and that's a Musaf. Okay. Now moving on to the next one, HaMitzvah Memvav, the 46th Mitzvah. He Shetzivanu. We're over here. HaMitzvah Memvav. He Shetzivanu Lahavi Shtei Alechem Chameitz HaMikdash Im HaKabaras HaMiyuchadim. This is the Mitzvah that we are supposed to bring two loaves of Chameitz bread to the temple, together with the special karbanos shehem yavo beglal halachem, which come because of the bread, the yom atzeres hamugbal, on the defined yom atzeres. Why did he say it that way? Probably because he means, like we're saying before, he can't tell you the date. He can only tell you the computation of the day. He can only tell you how to get to the day, but he can't tell you the date because Shavuos doesn't have a date. It only is 50 days after. So it's very mudbal.
Why is he making a point of saying that it's chametz?
Because it has to be. You have to make sure it goes becomes chametz on Shavuos, on the Shtei Alechem. It's just that's what the Torah said.
I'm not being difficult, but yeah. There's no issue of chametz.
Right, but let's say you didn't make a chametz and you brought it. Let's say you brought two matzahs. Right, it would, and you say a mochi lechem and aretz. Because the Shem says, "Sorry, you didn't do the mitzvah. It's got to be a bread, right?
Okay.
It's got to be
okay.
bread."
So
yeah.
This is also the only one that's chametz, right? Isn't everything else? And that's why, the concept why are saying our matzah is the same way makes no sense.
Yeah, whatever.
Looks
like it distracted, but
right.
But
even the lechem aponim were matzahs, weren't they?
Probably. I don't know. There's no halacha that it couldn't be chametz. It was just they were thin. Shaped bread, but it doesn't say that they couldn't be chametz. But here, chametz has to be chametz with the karbanos which are specified that come on that day. Teres hamugbal, ula hakriv hakarbanos, and to offer the karbanos kamos shabah hakasav sefer vayikra, like the Torah describes in vayikra. Okay, so here also, all of a sudden on these two mitzvahs, the Rambam has to tell you the name of the book in which the mitzvah he's describing appears, which is kind of weird. Here also, V'yachlo ha-kohanim shtei alechem, and the kohanim should eat the two loaves of bread, acha hanafasam, after they do the tznufa for the waving, im kivsei ha-shlamim, together with the kivsei ha-shlamim. What does he mean, together with the goats of the shlamim? So that means... Here it goes like this. You're going to count 50 days from the Omer. Then you're going to bring Lechem Tenufa, Shtayim. You're going to bring two loaves of bread. Chametz Yafena, they're going to be Chametz. You're going to be makrib in addition to the bread, seven kvasim, and one par, and two rams. They're going to be an ola. That sounds to be, what does that sound to be? That sounds like the Musaf, no?
I actually was asking comparison, but I know it's not the Musaf.
Right.
That's why I got mixed up.
It's not the Musaf, which is really very important. So here we are in MR, and we're describing special karbanos of Shavuos. And we're not describing the Musaf, right? We would think it is. And then I hope I'm not drawing you a cup when I say this. So the Torah is describing the special supplemental carbon over here. And you would say, hey, that sounds like the Musaf, because that's not the carbon that's covered every day. That's the Musaf. And then you're going to say, wait a minute, if that's the Musaf, this is the only Yom Tov in the whole list in Amor that has a Musaf mentioned, right? So then you go, oh, I feel better, because it's not a Musaf. It's just a special carbon for Shavuos, right? It's not a Musaf. Okay, fine. So it's not a Musaf. It's a special carbon for Shavuos, and it's not the Musaf. The Musaf is in Bamidbar. And the Rambam is careful to tell us
it's
that.
It's not a choice, though.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
This is how you have to observe Shavuos.
Okay.
How the Jewish people observe Shavuos. And then the Torah says, you make a chatos. And then the Torah says, the Kohen waves and two kvasim for a shlamim, for a peace offering, whatever that means. And then the Kohen waves them over the bread of Bikurim. Right? Okay, so there's a certain waving that he does. So now that's what the Rambam is talking about over here. So the Rambam says, the Kohanim eat the Shtei Alechem after they're waved with the Kivsei HaShlamim, which is exactly what it says in Parashas Emor. Now, the weird thing here, and I don't know what to do with this, is that there's a special mitzvah that every mincha that is brought in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim have to eat. The mitzvah Pei Ches, I think it is.
Another?
Huh?
In Olah?
No, every mincha.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a special mitzvah. Maybe it's not Peches. Where is it? Oh, I got the wrong one. One second. Pei Galid. Oh, yeah. This is Peches. Shetiva HaKonim Lecha Shiyar Minachas. There's a mitzvah that Kohanim have to eat the Shiyar Minachas, which means the part of the mincha that's not separated and put on the mizbeach to be burnt, that's called the remainder of the mincha, the Kohanim have to eat that. That's for every mincha in the book. If you bring a mincha, the Shiyar Minachas are eaten by the Kohanim. Now, here the Rambam in Mitzvah 45, describing the Shtei Alechem, right, says, V'yochlo HaKohanim, and they should eat the Shtei Alechem. Shkayach! Why are you telling me that? I why are you telling me that? You don't tell me with any of the other minchas. They're going to eat that too. And you don't say that. All of a sudden here, v'yochlo akonim, shtei alechem achanavas in kizeh shlamim. So I think that I'm my question is a slightly false question. Because, what? Because
it's called a mincha, doesn't it?
Well, I think it is a mincha.
It is a mincha, yeah, but I'm saying it's weird he doesn't call it a mincha.
Yeah, it is weird that he doesn't call it a mincha. Interesting. He doesn't call it a mincha, but it is a mincha.
You wouldn't have guessed that, I mean, unless you knew elsewhere it's a mincha. It's just that special way he doesn't call it a mincha.
What are you saying?
I mean, so maybe he had to tell you you eat it because you wouldn't have known it just by reading this because it doesn't.
And why would he not? Why would he admit it if the Torah itself calls it a mincha?
Yeah,
the Torah itself calls it a mincha right here in the pasuk. Why would he not? That's an interesting point. That's something I didn't notice. But I think that the Yochlu HaKohanim, he goes like this. The Kohanim should eat it. He doesn't mean that's what he's trying. That's not the point. Mm-hmm. That they have to eat it in Kivsei HaShlamim. The Rambam is not telling you a mitzvah of Kohanim eating the mincha. He's telling you a mitzvah of when they eat their mincha, which they normally would. Here they have to eat it in Kivsei HaShlamim, because the Rambam gets it from the pasuk that says, Al Shnei Kvasim. Right? So therefore, the Rambam is just telling you that this got to be eaten. It's almost like Fisher was asking before. What? In a special meal? So any the mincha, they fulfill the mitzvah by eating it when they want. This has to be eaten under certain conditions in the context of the shlamim that they're eating for Shavuos.
I thought he was saying... I thought the in was going that the hanafa has to do with the
kosher shlamim.
That's what
he meant? That's what you meant? Acha hanafasim. Ooh, maybe you're right. Acha hanafasim after their tznufa. What? After their tznufa with the kisei shlamim, let's see how the pasuk says. Behenif hakohen asam, you know what? You're right. The Torah says behenif hakohen asam, the kohen shall wave them on the lechem of bikurim tznufa al shnei kvasim. I don't know how to read that pasuk to tell you the truth. What is it with kohen waving? Behenif hakohen asam pasuk chav. How do you read that pasuk? Who is it? What's he waving? Yeah.
Which
Chaf.
It says,
So keep on going. You're going to what? Do tznufa over the lechem habikurim?
Yes.
And then it says al shnei kvasim.
It does, doesn't it?
So it can't be the kvasim that you're doing the tznufa on. So
is
what are you doing?
The reason? Does that get mixed up?
I don't know. So in Rashi on this pasuk says, "Malamish etzunim tznufa mechayim." Are we clearly not going on the bread?
It's not going on the ear. It's two nin.
Yeah. The mincha offering has a two-parter. Because he's leaving it, and then...
Yeah, but that's a...
Yeah, for some time, of them are all snakes, so it is going on the platform.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what to do for the next one. Then
no, he says Yachal Kula. Rashi says Yachal Kula. You might think all of them. What?
All the animals.
Because half had Snufa. Tamalomer al shnei kavasim.
Oh, so that's why he says at the end al shnei kavasim, that only kavasim have three ways, but not the other things.
Uh-huh.
That you're
al shnei kavasim. I don't know. But you're doing something while they're still alive. Huh. All right. Okay. Anyway, it could be that the Yachal Kohanim that I'm asking about is totally... I don't know. I don't know what to do with it. I really don't know what to do.
Real quick, what we were talking about before, just mentioned about Vayikra Bo Mor Sinai.
Yes.
The beginning of the
section,
so it says... in Emor, it says, Zerushim HaShem, the Rebbe Nisra, Matalayim, Kitabo Aret, and when it brings in, the whole idea of Bikurim, which is what we're associating here, it's saying, when you get the land, that's what you're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, no, the Mitzvah is actually starting in the Sinai.
Yeah, and you're saying, what are you explaining?
You might have a hobby to think that this Mitzvah didn't apply, or there wasn't something about, there was no Indian.
You mean that's why the Rambam says, when is Kibbe B'Mibar Sinai?
I feel like there are...
But he's saying this on the Musaf. The Rambam is using the reference of B'Mibar Sinai on the Musaf. And then on the reference to Vayikra, he says for the Shtei Alechem.
Yeah.
Your explanation...
The
Rama's reference to Bamidbar would be more appropriate for the Omer, not for the Karban Musaf. Why does he have to mention the book of Bamidbar there? So let's go on here. The Yochel Kanush De Alechem, so the Tikonim eat the two Alechem after their Menif, them, with the Kivsei Shlamim. And that's what he means in the Pasuk when he says, Mimashva Seichem, Tavio Alechem, Tnufash, Taim, Shneim. Fine, that's the Pasuk. We already explained Shazal Karban Shababagal Alechem, that this Karban that comes because of the breads of Shavuos, Chaluk Mimusaf Hayom, that it's separate and not connected to the Musaf of the day, V'shezeh Zulas Zeh, and that one is independent of the other, which means this is not the Musaf. So the Rama really wants you to know that.
Well, we said
right
before it was the Musaf, didn't we?
Yes. Yes.
So
that's
why
correct.
Is he
kind of repeating himself?
Drawing such emphasis.
Right. Good question. So I think we're going to get a little bit of it, but that's a good deal, and that's exactly what we're trying to notice. But kvar bi'arnu anachnu zeh bi'ar masav b'ferish mesachas menachas. We have already explained this in my commentary on the Mishnah in Menachas. So look over there. B'mishpatei mitzvah zu kulam kvar esvar b'rvi. All the halachas of the Shtei Alechem are explained in the fourth and fifth parak of Shmini v'Cheres Menachas. All these parakim in Mesachas Menachas. Okay, so I think we have not enough to go on, but now we have the three or four that go together enough for us to be able to do some analysis based on a couple things. So this thing about Bamidbar and Vayikra. So if you remember, a couple weeks ago we went through this. Remember we pointed out the Rashi in Parshas in Emor where it says every time the Torah get, what is coming on in Emor? In Emor the Torah is giving us a list of Yom Tovim and it's telling us how to observe the Yom Tovim, and it says you don't do malacha, and you should you have a malacha, and you should eat matzahs, and you have no malacha on the first day, no malacha, and it says v'yikrav em isheh l'Hashem, right? And you should be makiv fire offerings, right? Very oblique. Right? What does that mean? Rashi says this means the musafim. So Rashi says, so why doesn't it just tell you? Why? Because the Rashi comes along and says to tell you that she'en musafim achman zeh zeh, to tell you that the musafim are not makiv. So we pointed out that means to say that if you did some of the musafim and not all of them, you you have a mitzvah, right? You can't say you don't have anything, right? If you do that, which is a very weird thing. The Torah gives you a formula for Musaf on the first day of Sukkot, and you're going to do some of it, not all, and you're Yotzei. Malam is just Emak Mezezeh, right? So, so we pointed out that the idea here is that the Torah is telling you, by bowing out of its way to reference the Musafim and not give you the details of the Musafim, thereby concluding that you can do some of the Musafim and not all of it, and be Yotzei, that what I want you to do is do something unique for the Yom Tov. Right? So what's really neat here is, we almost stood on top of it. When you're talking about the mitzvah of Shavuos, so look in Vayikra, again, chapter 23, verse 15, when we get to Shavuos. Because here, the Torah does something unusual. Okay, count 7 weeks. Till the day after the seventh week, you're going to count 50 days. You're going to be makriv, a special mincha, new mincha tashem. From all your settlements, whatever that means, we don't have to go into that now. It means from somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, you should bring lechem tznufa, shtayim sherzim, that's the shtei halechem, a special karbanos of shavuos called shtei halechem. And you're going to be makriv on the lechem shivas kvasim, 7 goats, a year old, and a par, that's a year old, and 2 rams, right? They're going to be an ola. And we said, this is not the mincha, this is not the musaf, right? The musaf of shavuos isn't even described here, right? And by the way, next pasuk, you're going to do a sin offering of a serizim. And you're going to have 2 kvasim for a peace offering, zevah shlamim, right? Okay? And it's going to be a special yom tov. Meanwhile, what are you going to do for Musaf? You go to the place where you're supposed to go for Musaf, which is Pinchas in Sefer Bamidbar. And in Bamidbar, it says that on Shavuos, you're supposed to do v'yoma bikurim, on the day of Bikurim, when you're offering a Mincha Chadasha, it's Pinchas, chapter 28, verse 26, on the day of Bikurim, when you're makriv a new Mincha Tashem on your festival of weeks, it should be a holy day. And I want you to be makriv an Ola, Parim B'nei Vakashnayim, 2 cows, Ayal Achad, 1 ram, 7 goats. And there's special minchas that's going to go with that special carbon, which we're calling the musaf, right? Okay, so that's not what the Torah describes in Emor. So the Torah in Emor is describing special carbonas that go with the shtei alechem. The Torah in Pinchas is describing the musafim that go as the musaf of Shavuot. When do you offer it? On the day that you're doing the mincha chadash, right? So I'm just saying. So the karbanos of Shavuos in Emor that are explicitly enumerated are the unique karbanos of Shavuos that are not a musaf, right? Anything that is a musaf is only obliquely referenced in Emor. If you craft an isha, you should do an isha, a fire offering. Rashi says, look in Pinchas, you'll find out what it is, right? But it's mentioned here to tell you a special din of the musaf. But it's obliquely mentioned, it's not mentioned clearly. The karbanos that are mentioned clearly, the only karbanos that are mentioned clearly, is the one of Shavuos, which is not a musaf. Right? So this is very consistent, because Emor is the parsha that tells you all of the unique dinim of each Yom Tov. Pinchas is the parsha that tells you all the common dinim of Yom Tov, meaning that all Yomim Tovim have Musafim. Right? So even though the Rambam counts the Musafim of Pesach separate as a mitzvah, then the Karbanos of Sukkos separate as a mitzvah, then the Musafim of Shavuos, but that's the Rambam would say, but the concept of a Musaf of Yom Tov, that's a generalized concept. How each one deviates from the other is what makes each one a separate mitzvah. But the idea, Pinchas is listing all the commonality of the concept of Musaf. That's what Pinchas comes to do. Emor comes to give you the uniqueness of that particular thing. Now, so let's go straight into... I'm just pointing out, it's fairly obvious what I said, I'm just enunciating it. I want to go into an Achron here who has a very short piece, but he gives us a very juicy medrash, and I, in my humility, think he made a mistake. Okay, but I may be wrong. So here, pass this around.
Why would it not mention
what?
In Amor, why would it not mention?
Because it's not a Yom Tov.
It's mentioned Shabbos.
Huh?
It does mention.
Yes, because Shabbos is the source of Kedusha, Shabbos, yeah. It's a Malacha, there's no Issa Malacha on Yom Tov. That's on Rosh Chodesh, that's right. Yeah, it's not a Moed. All right, but now this is from the Sefer Emek Bracha, which is by this, evidently he's a brisker, named Pomeranchik in Petah Tikva. And he has some very interesting material here. So I forged the arrangement. In the Sefer itself, it doesn't look this way. I just patched it together. I didn't edit anything out. I just put it all on one page. So here he says like this, Medrash Tadsha. Okay, that's a certain kind of medrash. I looked it up on Wikipedia. Because I didn't know exactly what Medrash Tadsha is. Okay? I always see people quoting it. This is one of the only ones they ever quote because this is the only one that gets attention because it's so unique. But so I found out that there's a medrash called Medrash Tadsha that's attributed to, I forgot whom, to some time. Okay, fine. Now, Wikipedia, what can I tell you? I have nowhere else to look. Okay. Medrash Tadsha Perek Vav. Delete that from the tape. Okay. Zayin Moad Hain says the Medrash. Look at this. There are seven Yom Tovim. I mentioned this on Yom Tov and Shul. Shabbos, Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaOmer, the festival of the Omer. Chag HaShavuos, the festival of Shavuos. Chag HaShofers, that's Rosh Hashanah, Chag Yom Kippur, Chag HaSukkos. Okay. So he goes like this. Ha Dechashiv Chag HaMatzos or Chag HaOmer V'Shnayim. This that he, the Medrash counts the Chag HaOmer as a separate Yom Tov, a second Yom Tov besides Pesach. Nira hatam mishum debosa yom hayom akriven karban musaf al musvei achag nisaf, because on that day there were makiv an additional karban besides the musafim of Pesach. V'hainu kevas haolak haba beglal hakarbas haomer, because there was a karban that the Rambam mentioned. We just saw it when he listed the mitzvah of the minchas haomer. The Rambam said clearly with the kevas haolah that goes with it, right? So there was a special carbon. V'kivin shayam zeh shal ha-kerbas ha-omer hu chalok v'karbon ha-shal shayim ha-ag. Since the 16th day has a different kind of carbon than any of the other days of Pesach, v'pnei zeh nechshav l'cha v'pnei atzmo, that would make it a separate Yom Tov. K'yisav k'enzav erchin daf yud, that just like the Maran Erchin, daf yud says that the reason on Sukkot, I'm going to say it first and we'll go into the text. The reason on Sukkot we say a full hallel, the entire Sukkot, is because every day the carbon is different than the day before. And the reason on Pesach we don't say a full hallel is because it's the same carbon most of every single day. So what's the Gemara saying? Why don't we say hallel on Pesach the way we say on Sukkot? The Gemara answers, because on Sukkot it's a different carbon every day. The Pesach and Chol Karbanos, but the Karbanos of Pesach are not different. Harei the Chiluk Karbanos Meshavia Lelechag. So he says, you see that the differentiation of Karbanos makes it into a Chag Bifnei Atzmo, Lomar Alav Halal Bifnei Atzmo. But Kamo Kain LeInyan Yom HaKarbanos HaOmer. Similarly, that would make it a separate Chag on the 16th because of the special Karban of the Ola, which was done together with the Omer, the Neshav May Haitaim Olachag Bifnei Atzmo. It's considered for this reason for its own Chag. Moving down to the next paragraph, it's in the next page really. Achlef Izeh. However, he says, Heir Li Chacham Echad. One Talmud Chacham, I mean somebody in his base medrash, could be his son, right? Heir Li Chacham Echad. Yaksha, according to this, we're going to have a problem. Lama lo neim ha'halal b'yom she'en shal Pesach. We should say a full hallel on the second day of Pesach. We're talking Eretz Yisrael. Probably. Okay. Lama lo neim ha'halal b'yom she'en. Why don't we say a full hallel we're talking Eretz Yisrael, where the second day is Chol HaMoed and they only say half hallel. Why don't we say a full hallel on the second day of Pesach? Mishum Chag HaOmer, Dahavi Chag B'fnei Atzmo. Since you just said, according to the Medrash, that it's a Chag. And why is it a Chag? Because the Karbanos. And we see by Sukkot that every different carbon makes a different Chag, and if we have a full hallel, so we should say a full hallel on the second day of Pesach. Right? Okay. So he wants to answer, we're not going to go into this. Yeah, it is. So he wants to answer, he wants to set it up as a Machlokes, Rav Meish Lakish, in Megmar Menachas, the whole thing, having to do with the nature of the Minchas HaOmer. He may or may not be right about that. I don't know. I think he's making a mistake. I think he got tricked by his own shot. What I mean by that is like this. Let's go straight. What does the Gemara mean when you say that on Sukkot it's chalak b'karbon the same, it's different carbon every day, therefore we say a full hallel? Right?
It's an expression of the fact that it is a different carbon.
Right.
It's not the carbon.
Sukkot caused a different carbon. It's not the carbon.
Siva?
Right. Very good. Sukkot is Sukkot, and it's a different Sukkot today. How do I know? Because since you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says give a different Musaf today than giving yesterday, I want you to relate to Sukkot differently today. It's a new, fresh Yom Tov, but it's not the carbon causing the Yom Tov.
Carbon is just the simen.
It's the simen, right. So therefore, you don't say Hallel because there's another carbon, right? He's saying, so therefore, I would say it another way. The carbon itself is what of the second day of Pesach is what makes the Medrash Tadshik call it. It's not like the carbon of Sukkot. The reason every day of Sukkot is called the Yom Tov is because it's a Yom Tov. And you see that it's a different Yom Tov than the one before and after because it has a different carbon. It's an indication, as you said, right? On the second day of Pesach, the reason the Medrash Tadshik would call it a Moed is because there is a carbon. The carbon isn't an indication of a Yom Tov. It's not coming because of the Yom Tov of 16th of Pesach, of 16th of Nisan. It's a Yom Tov because I told you to give a carbon. The carbon makes it a Yom Tov. That's what the Medrash Tadshik means, that it's a Moed, yes.
Don't we have an idea that by Erev Pesach we say that it's a Shtikl Chag because we bring the carbon? Because we're preparing for it, it's like considered like a mini Chag, and so there's certain things we don't do.
You mean Erev Pesach?
Erev Pesach.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not because it's Erev Pesach. That's because we're preparing for the carbon. Or we're doing the carbon. Well, we brought the carbon. We brought the carbon. So yeah. It gives a special Kedusha to the day because of the carbon.
That's not what we say, though. That's that we don't say that. We don't say that there's an Isra Melacha because of the carbon. There's Minhagim, right? There's Minhagim not to do Melacha Erev Pesach. You're right. It's Minhagim, but it's not Makom Shenagu. It's Mamish not Al Sekarban. That's what I'm saying. It's the rationale for it doesn't seem to stem from the fact that there's a carbon given that day. Yeah.
Also, yeah. Couldn't we just have people say that there's two different? I mean, because we're not.
Yeah.
He makes it.
Never mind. Okay, fine. So, go ahead.
So I'm still trying to hear, though. No, isn't the fact that we do have an Omer, that's not an expression of the fact that there is a special Moed over here? And wouldn't
but
that itself
what
mean.
You're saying on the Medrash Tadshik?
I still am sort of hearing what he's saying. So the carbon is an expression of the fact that there is a special thing going on every single day of Sukkot, and therefore and it's the thing itself, which is the source of the
right.
carbon.
It's the yant of itself.
So
yeah.
It's the source of right. So it's the source of the hollows.
Right.
Because there's a special. So, but the if the Medrash Tadshik is saying is that there is a special moed being created over here by the carbon omer, then that thing itself should also whatever moed is hidden in there, that itself should require
well,
a hollow.
I'm not so sure. You're saying anything that acquires the status of moed should be a cause of simcha for a special hollow.
It's not but a question why it doesn't.
But if you're drawing from the Gemara in Erechin, the chalak becomes his whole impetus is kasha. The power of the kasha is that chalak becoming a seim shows you that it should have its own hallel. So I'm saying no, chalak becoming a seim doesn't show you that it should have its own hallel. Chalak becoming a seim tells you that the nature of the Yom Tov is different than the one before and afterwards, and therefore the carbon is different. Therefore I say a full hallel because I have a Yom Tov. The Yom Tov that the Medrash Tadshik is talking about on the 16th of Nisan is not a new version of a previously existing Yom Tov which is causing the thing. It's
right.
The carbon creating a Yom Tov. Because I have a carbon, the carbon is what makes it a Yom Tov. There's no reason to say Hallel. The Hallel of Sukkot is a Sukkot Tikka Hallel. It's not a carbon Tikka Hallel. The carbon is an indication that that day is to be celebrated fresh and brand new. The Yom Tov of the 16th of Nisan is caused not by another version of Pesach. It's caused by the fact that you're going to offer a special carbon that day. The carbon is the source of the Yom Tov. It's not the expression of the Yom Tov. There's no reason to say Hallel because you call it a Yom Tov. It's only if the Yom Tov itself is causing Hallel, then you go a different carbon causes a different Hallel. It's a new friend. But if the day is a Yom Tov because of the carbon, there's no reason you should have to say Hallel on that day. It's a Yom Tov because of the carbon. But you're saying Hallel and Sukkos because of Sukkos, and you're saying a fresh Hallel each day because it's a fresh Sukkos each day, because the carbon shows you it's a fresh one.
This is very different than any other kind of Hallel.
Yes.
Like, so we're being impressed with the idea that a carbon does create. I mean, every other one, you have a bow, and then it has a carbon.
I mean, that's the chiddush of the Medrash Tashas. The Medrash Tashas doesn't think that it's telling you about Rosh Hashanah.
But
you're saying if it's all together.
I would say that the Medrash Tashas, I mean, like Malcolm's Razor kind of thing, you're going to do the minimum Malcolm Kiddush, so you have to.
Right, okay.
All the other Moeds work this way. This one is going to work backwards. I'm saying once you see, it's a Kiddush already, he created a new Moed here.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm saying, and this Moed works backwards from all the other Moedas also.
Not so much backwards as much as, I would even grant you that it's a special day because it's a special day. But the point is, it's not that the carbon indicates the special day, it's that the carbon is the special day. Therefore, Hallel wouldn't be caused by the carbon. Hallel on Sukkot isn't caused by the carbon. Hallel on Sukkot is caused by Sukkot.
This is indicated.
What?
What does it indicate today?
What does?
The carbon indicates today.
The carbon indicates, right, over there by Sukkot, because you're coming to say Hallel because it's Sukkot, and you know to say a fresh Hallel because the carbon of Sukkot shows you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees it as a new Sukkot, a nigher manifestation of Sukkot.
Each day is a new...
Right, is a new expression of Sukkot. It's a new Hallel. Here it's not shot that there is a pre-existing thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu refreshed with a new carbon. We're not saying that it's Pesach with a new angle of a Pesach carbon.
It's
a whole new thing.
But maybe the whole new thing... Here, I'll prove it to you. Even granting that it does work this way.
Yeah.
Anytime you have a Yom Tov, even a pseudo Yom Tov, look at Purim, they have a whole discussion that, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? They have Purim. Gilad's, why don't we say Hallel on Chanukah? Anytime that there's like even a Dorabana being created, they have a question, why don't we say Hallel?
Right.
So, for whatever Chag Omer is being created over here, created by the carbon pre-existing, it's a question, why doesn't it have Hallel? It should have Hallel.
But even his kasha, the Talmud, the Chacham Echad who asked him, isn't asking stop. He's saying, based on the Gemara and Erechin of Chalak B'Karbon Aseihem, not that there is a carbon. He's saying Chalak B'Karbon Aseihem, because it's different. So I'm saying this isn't Chalak B'Karbon Aseihem. Carbonos could be are enough to make the Medrash call it a Yom Tov, but it's not Chalak. It's not different. It's not Pshat. On the first day of Pesach, you have one kind of carbon. On the second day of Pesach, you have a different kind of carbon. No! On the 16th of Nisan, do a carbon. It's enough to call it a Yom Tov, but it's not a Chaluk. It's not a new version of Pesach. So you're saying for that Yom Tov, it should be enough to say hello. So I don't know. I don't know if you have to.
I guess that's why the Chaluk thing is supposed to be more of a riot.
Right.
That's why he's asking it that way, because it's a much stronger concept.
Yeah.
I hear you're saying so it's not such a strong concept, but it's at least the level.
You're saying it's at least deserves a hello. I hear. Like, you're saying you don't need that much for hello anyway. You have Durbanans also for your hello. Hanukkah is an araya because it's kavua b'halo v'hodah. That's the mitzvah of Hanukkah. It's even drabanim, but they mamish. That's what they went out to do. It's not a reaction to Hanukkah when you say halal. It is Hanukkah. That's what they want you to. You could say that. I'm not so sure. I hear what you're saying. Listen, he's a big Talmud Chacham. He's a serious guy.
The one question that
I mamish have to go is the problem. I got it. Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What's the
shot? Well, that's the point. That's exactly what I'm saying. I didn't bring it home. So the point is that the Rambam wants you to know that this is not the Musaf. This is a uniquely Shavuos carbon in a way that a Musaf isn't even unique. That's why it belongs in Emor. That's why he says Bavayikra, because he's telling you that all the things of Vayikra are unique to the Yom Tov, and the things in Bamidbar are actually generalized concepts. And that's why they appear in Bamidbar. That's why the Rambam finds it necessary, dafka on Shavuos, to point out Bamidbar and this, because there's two added karbanos that fit into two different kinds of categories.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.